Chapter 26. Surrender. Hold your head up high, for there is no greater love. Think of the faces of the people you defend, and promise me they will never see the tears within our eyes. Although we are men with mortal sins, angels never cry. The Crux Shadows. Wonderborn.
I still don't like it.
Jane's voice was tinny over the communicator, but his reluctance rang clear. I mean, at least Mal had something like a plan most of the time. And usually it weren't completely nuts. The doctor rolled his eyes and raised the little radio to his lips. Stop arguing about it, Jane. Are you and Zoe in position? There was a grunt, crackling with static.
Near enough. Though I still don't see how we're gonna—
Just do as I asked, Jane, all right? It's not hard. Or it shouldn't be, so long as Zoe is the one who uses the psychic paper. Don't you dare touch it, do you understand? No telling what it'll come up with if you get your hands on it.
Zoe's voice cut off Jane's protests.
I've got it just fine, Doctor. Stop fussing and get on with your half of things. The doctor sighed, lowering the communicator. Please, tell me again that there was no possible way to convince her to stay aboard the TARDIS? He asked Lenora. Sending a pregnant woman out into that offends all of my, admittedly old-fashioned, sensibilities.
If you'd argued with her any longer, Doctor, she'd have shot you.
And it is possible that their part of things won't be required.
I can hope, said the doctor.
But considering how my days usually go, I think it's a feeble hope at best. He shook his head and lifted the comm again. Kaylee?
Shuma?
You in position?
Yep, all shiny here.
Not a guard in sight. Looks like they all went home for the night.
I expect there'll be a few around Viraj's lab, the doctor muttered.
Sit tight and wait for my signal, he told her. It all depends on you, Kaylee.
No worries, Doc. I got it covered.
I imagine you do. And don't call me Doc. He glanced round at Simon and Nora.
All right, then. Are you two ready?
If you are, said Simon.
He tugged uneasily at his collar.
You do this a lot?
What, surrender? All the time.
Funny thing is, though, the bad guys almost never take me up on it.
The doctor loosened his tie, ran a hand through his hair, and shot a final look at the TARDIS's closed doors.
Of course, he added softly. That could be because I never really mean it.
He winked in the general direction of his ship.
Let's go.
He landed the TARDIS in the corridor he, Nora, and Mal had crept down just hours before, not far from the security gate. There was no reception waiting for them here, but he didn't suppose for a minute that it was because he'd managed to pull one over on Viraj. The Mokshar was well aware of his ship's capabilities, and if he didn't have a squad of soldiers awaiting them as soon as the TARDIS materialized, it was because he was playing a deeper game.
Let's see just how deep you can go, shall we, Viraj?
Several minutes passed in tense silence. At the doctor's insistence, none of them were armed. Because he'd chosen to take along Inara and Simon, he hadn't gotten a lot of argument about it. Neither of them were as attached to weaponry as, say, Jane or Zoe.
And I hope to heaven that Jane and Zoe succeed in their task, or things upstairs could get very bad.
Finally, Simon broke their quiet. Is this going to work, Doctor?
Oh, sure, of course. Why wouldn't it?
He didn't sound convincing, even to his own ears.
His talent for lying in this regeneration was, to his frustration, erratic at best.
What about Mal? Asked Inara. Do you think he's all right? The doctor sighed.
This wasn't a good time to be having this conversation.
Do you want an honest answer or a comforting answer? She said nothing, but the fear in her dark eyes told him that she didn't need to hear either one. Her imagination was already supplying her with plenty of fodder. And she can't even imagine the worst of it like I can.
On the other hand, he could hope. Hope that Viraj had been content with keeping Mal prisoner, a hostage against the doctor's inevitable counter-move. After all, what could he possibly want with one belligerent ship's captain? But on the other hand, Viraj had known the name Malcolm Reynolds. And that, in the doctor's book, couldn't be a good thing.
They reached the doors that led into the lab corridor, and the doctor could see through the windows that the expected reception party was on the other side.
"Well, ladies and gents," he said, "here goes nothing."
Kaylee squeezed herself further into the crawl space, holding her breath until the sound of booted feet faded away. The flash of fear served to sharpen her senses. She was mighty grateful it hadn't sent her over into panic. She didn't freeze so bad as she used to, before that fight with the Reavers, but she wasn't going to place any confidence that things less than imminent, horrible death would keep her from locking up. Sometimes I wish I was a soldier, like Zoe. She wouldn't let panic freeze her up. She wriggled a little further down the crawlspace, shining her penlight at the lines and wires overhead. Just breathe, Kaylee. You gotta stay focused. The captain's depending on you, and so is the doctor. And everyone else. She tried not to think of Simon, walking into the lion's den with the doctor. She had her own lion's den to worry over. At last the trail of colored wires and piping overhead formed a junction, and at that junction, Kaylee grinned. Guns and fighting, well, she'd never been good at either one. But this, now this, she understood better than anybody. Gripping her penlight between her teeth and scrabbling in her coverall pockets for her utility knife, Kaylee got to work. The desk sergeant stared at Zoe. I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Zoe raised an eyebrow and fixed the man with her coldest soldier stare. He wilted visibly. Man didn't have the spine to be a real sergeant, she thought contemptuously, and shoved the psychic paper under his nose. Take a good look at that, sergeant, and try to convince me you ain't Tien de Bouillon, all right? He swallowed, eyes flicking down to the paper again. Sorry, agent, it's just... Reavers? You calling me a liar? No, ma'am, he squeaked. Then listen closely this time, sergeant. I ain't gonna repeat myself again. We got solid evidence that a terrorist cell has corralled a number of reavers and are holding them beneath the Rainier complex. Seems that Sieur Dung planned to let the things loose in the city. So unless you want to be held personally responsible for the biggest Goram bloodbath this verse has ever seen, I suggest you get on the horn to your commander right now. The sergeant gulped, glanced over Zoe's shoulder at the looming Jane, and dove for his comm. He spoke quietly and urgently into it for a few moments, thumbed it off, looked nervously at the two standing in front of his desk. Just one moment, ma'am. He disappeared through a door. Zoe hoped it was to get his commander, and not call in a squadron to arrest them. She snuck a glance at the psychic paper. It still said, to her eyes, that she was a federal agent. This ain't gonna work, Jane muttered. I can't believe we're recruiting the rotten cops. Jokoa, Jane, she hissed. Or it's gonna be just you and me holding that line against the Reavers. How does the doc even know they're gonna get turned loose? He don't, said Zoe. But frankly, if it was me in the other guy's position, I'd use him as a big Goram threat. And they ain't gonna just bluff. We already know they got no problem using their pet Reavers. So shut up and look official. Jane grunted. That an order? I'll back it up with a fist in your groin if you like. He ain't gonna buy a pregnant agent. Jane! Sulking, the mercenary shut his mouth. The sergeant returned a moment later, in the wake of a small, neat man, who nonetheless carried with him an air of tough commander. He took in Zoe and Jane, inspected the badge carefully, and looked Zoe square in the eye. She returned the gaze impassively. Finally, he spoke. What kind of resources do you need, agent? The doctor sighed. Once, just once, I'd like to surrender without guns being pointed at me. Guns are so overused. Still, I suppose it's traditional. He submitted to being patted down by one of the security men. He watched mournfully as a sonic screwdriver was confiscated from the inner pocket of his suit jacket. Well, he hadn't really expected Vrosh to let him get this far again with that little tool. The squad commander gestured with his weapon. Take off the coat and the suit jacket. What? Oh, come on! He swallowed the rest of his protest as the commander leveled the weapon purposefully at his nose. Apparently, they'd decided to skip searching the rest of his pockets. Pity that. Fine. He shrugged off coat and jacket and passed them over. Be careful with that coat, he said sternly, unbuttoning his shirt cuffs and rolling up the sleeves. I'm very fond of it. Two men took him by the arms and marched him at the head of the group toward the lab doors. Glancing over his shoulder, he saw Inara and Simon being prodded forward as well. Moving right along toward checkmate. I just hope all of my pawns are in place. Faraj's funding was impressive. The damage done by the doctor's earlier exit was already almost all cleared away. He felt the hairs on his neck raise, though, as he saw the cylinders. They were empty now. Where had the Reavers gone, then? How many moves can you think I had, Faraj? Or are you just fumbling in the dark, hoping to outwit me? They passed through the lab, into carpeted and nicely painted corridors beyond. The doctor caught glimpses, through doorways, of offices. This was the real heart of the operation where, he suspected, the Mokshar's human allies made their monstrous decisions in the clean, quiet safety of their fine offices, far removed from the true blood and horror of the consequences. Corporations. I hate bloody corporations. The security squad ushered them at last into the broad executive office. Expensively and rather more tastefully furnished than the lobby and offices in the building far above. No windows, but the room was subtly well lit to give the impression of windows. At the far end, next to the large desk, stood Viraj, flanked by several human men. At the Mokshar's feet, curled up in something that looked very much like agony. Behind him, Inara let out a soft cry. The doctor risked a glance at her stricken face, saw Simon's arm close around the woman's shoulders. Far from the way her fists had curled, he suspected it was more to prevent her from flinging herself at the nearest available victim and clawing eyes out than to offer comfort. The doctor turned his attention back to the tableau in front of him and drew a deep breath, shunting aside his own worry and fear for Malcolm Reynolds and loosening the reins holding his anger in check. You have no idea what you have just stepped into, Viraj. They came to a halt a few feet from the Mokshar and his fallen prisoner. The security men holding the doctor's arms released him, and he took a few steps forward. They don't see me as a threat. I'm unarmed, and Viraj knows I won't attempt physical violence. Idiots. He was on the edge now, between life and death, disaster and triumph, good and evil. This was where he lived. He bared his teeth at Viraj in something that, if the alien had all of his wits about him, he would not consider a smile. Hello again, Viraj. The feathers of the Mokshar's crest rippled slightly as he tilted his head to watch the doctor narrowly. Doctor, he said warily, is this your idea of a plan? Were you expecting a frontal assault? The doctor shrugged and shoved his hands into his trouser pockets. This resulted in a general swiveling of guns in his direction, so he very slowly removed them again, making sure the guards could see that they were empty. Better be careful, or they'll be demanding my trousers next. And attempting to save the world in one's knickers was, while not impossible, somewhat embarrassing. You said it yourself before. Military options really aren't my style.
What do you want, then?
Oh, right to the point. How nice. I wasn't really in the mood to chit-chat anyway. The doctor lifted his chin. In exchange, Viraj. Me for Captain Reynolds. Let him go, and you get me. And on my vast, vast knowledge of bioengineering, physics, and cricket statistics. Ooh, and the TARDIS, too. Just let Serenity's captain and crew go free, unpursued and unmolested. The Mokshar's luminous eyes narrowed.
That's quite an offer, Doctor.
Isn't it, though? Frankly, you're getting the better deal. I can't imagine what use Captain Reynolds is to you, compared to me. His major talent, so far as I can tell, seems to be getting into trouble. Viraj tilted his head.
I don't see the rest of the crew with you. Where are they?
Safe. Elsewhere. These two wanted to make sure Mal was all right, so I let them come along. I think two extra hostages are more than enough for you, aren't they, Viraj? And, like Captain Reynolds, of no real use to you.
Allow me to introduce my partners to you, Doctor.
Viraj gestured to the men with a long, graceful hand.
Oris McKinney, Alistair Reinholdt, Marshall Walker, and Yunsing Smith.
He sensed Inara tense behind him, heard her hiss. They were Bankut leaders, Doctor.
Oh.
He looked the men over and allowed his gaze to flicker briefly to the still shape on the floor. Oh, dear. False move for the Doctor. He'd forgotten to include the human partner's motivations into the mix. Viraj's knight to Bishop III, and he'd taken one of the Doctor's chess pieces. The men were silent, content, it seemed, to allow their alien ally to do the talking. He watched Viraj's eyes glitter.
Yes, you scored one, Viraj. Or at least you think you did.
Bit of a twist, I expect, for Captain Reynolds. But what does it matter, really? I'm still a more valuable prospect for your little... project. And I'm offering myself for a ridiculously low price, Viraj.
A low price for you, anyway, who now places price on lives.
Better take the offer before I change my mind.
You seem to be operating on the assumption that I'm stupid, Doctor, said Viraj. I'm not one of the serial drama villains you seem to believe you fight daily. I know your reputation, remember? You offer to help, of course, and suddenly everything will go wrong. No, I don't think so. My allies and I are on an important mission, serving a greater good, Doctor. Not your narrow idea of right and wrong. I'm not going to risk all of that by turning you loose on it, no matter how much you claim to know.
The Mokshar's features shifted into an expression the Doctor recognized as a smile.
And you're sorely mistaken if you think that Malcolm Reynolds is of no value to us.
He turned his smile down towards the man at his feet.
He is of great value.
He wasn't terribly interested in hearing any of this lot's twisted justifications, but the Doctor knew he needed to buy just a little more time.
Really? Why is that?
He's a leader, Doctor. Potentially a great one. Though it has become very clear to me that Malcolm Reynolds is unaware of just how deep his talents really run. No, I don't think so, Viraj. He's just content to let those talents be of use to people he loves, rather than a bloody great army. He knows the price of great leadership far too intimately to ever want to pay it again.
Once he has been suitably persuaded, continued Viraj, he will be our cause's most valuable asset.
The Doctor blinked, and took a moment to filter the Mokshar's little speech through his internal Blarney filter.
What was it about people?
Didn't matter what race they were. When they turned villain, they all seemed to operate from the same handbook of clichés. Viraj, I've got a pretty good idea of what you lot are up to with your little army of monsters, and I've got to tell you, it ranks up there with one of the most ridiculous plots I've ever seen. And I have seen a lot of ridiculous plots over the centuries. Really ridiculous ones. Tell me, have you recently started reading comic books? Or watching bad science fiction films from Earth? Because the whole setup is just the kind of serial villain nonsense you claim to be avoiding. Viraj's crest rippled.
Yes, get angry, Viraj. Because I know you can't channel your anger like I can.
The Doctor rolled on, letting the scorn lay thick in his voice. And what? You're going to persuade Captain Reynolds to help you out? Be your figurehead? I know he won't agree to that. Oh, but he doesn't have to agree, does he? You can just change his mind for him. Is that it, Viraj? He jerked his head toward the crumpled shape that was Mal.
Only it's not working that well, is it, Viraj?
You can break his mind without effort, but that only strips away the very qualities you're after. Do you plan to be a puppet master, then? Or were you planning on propping up a zombie at the head of your abominations? Because that's what you've got right there, my friend, a zombie. The talent to lead doesn't exist without free will. Nothing exists without free will. Your people knew that very well. When did you forget, Viraj? When you started playing God?
He had no way of knowing just how much damage Viraj had already done to Mal, not without physical contact. But Malcolm Reynolds did not look good. His face was corpse pale, and from here the Doctor couldn't see whether or not he was even breathing. He clenched his jaw. No time to worry now. There was too much at stake to let compassion get in his way. Forgive me, Mal. I hope this doesn't cost you your life.
Let them go, he growled. I'm warning you, Viraj. Take my deal. I'll help you find a better way to topple the Alliance.
The Mokshar sneered. You, Doctor, are not in a position to deal. Malcolm Reynolds will be of use to our cause. And so will you.
I won't help you if you don't let him go.
Viraj turned to his partners. Gentlemen, with your permission.
The man Viraj had introduced as McKinney took a step forward.
Just who is this man, Viraj? I've never heard of him.
How do you know he isn't an Alliance agent?
He isn't anyone's agent, said Viraj. And, like me, he isn't human. He wasn't lying when he said he has extensive knowledge of biotechnology. His people were once among the universe's foremost experts in bioengineering, among other things. And then, of course, there is his ship. With its technology, overthrowing the Alliance and ending their injustice will be an easy task.
Huh. I'd love to see you try to get the TARDIS to cooperate. So is it a deal, Viraj? He knew the answer already, but Viraj had to have his chance.
No, Doctor, it is not a deal. I told you. I'm not a fool. You don't have to give your help willingly any more than Captain Reynolds did.
The Mokshar lifted his hands.
I'll simply change your mind for you.
The Doctor tensed. Here goes.
The midden, ladies and gentlemen, has just hit the fan.
Kaylee's comm crackled. Time to play, Kaylee.
Chira,
Kaylee replied, and replaced the penlight between her teeth. Here goes nothing, she mumbled, and began twisting stripped wires together. The lights overhead flickered, and the security guard closest to Inara let out a soft mutter of surprise. There was a low rumble from somewhere else in the building. One of the former independents, the youngest of them, Reinhold, frowned, and, lifting his communicator, began to speak rapidly in Chinese. He listened to the response, which at this distance came to Inara's ears only as a series of agitated, muffled squawks, and then leaned over to whisper something in Yunsung Smith's ear. The Eurasian man scowled in turn and said, "Viraj, there seems to be something going on with the generators. Power surges." The alien's huge eyes flickered. "Doctor." The doctor lifted his eyebrows, an expression of magnificently insincere innocence on his face. "Yes, Viraj? Call it off. Now." "Or what? You'll shatter my mind? Oh, wait, you were going to do that anyway. So, no." "Call it off, or I'll turn the Reavers loose." "Not in here, you won't. I don't think you can deal with Mal and me and controlling your little pets all at once. And it wouldn't be polite to let them eat your business partners, would it?"
"I won't release them in here, on the city, out of my control."
The doctor's face went still and cold. In Mal, Inara knew that expression meant that someone was about to get shot. The doctor didn't have a gun, but she suspected that it still meant much the same thing.
"I wouldn't if I were you." "Then call it off."
"No." Inara exchanged a word glance with Simon, and read her own prayer mirrored there. "Please, please let Jane and Zoe have succeeded." The former independent shuffled, a little uncomfortably.
"Viraj," said McKinney, uneasily. "Are you sure this is wise? Paquin isn't a target."
"That," said Viraj, "is up to the doctor."
The lights flickered again, and this time the rumble of machinery going haywire was much closer.
"Call it off, doctor."
"No means no, Viraj."
The doctor's eyes were hard.
"Very well."
Viraj reached out, pressed a button on the panel set in the desk's surface.
"On your head be it, doctor."
Reinhold, his face pale, made a gesture as though to prevent the alien's act, but at a sharp glance from McKinney, he subsided, looking a little ill.
"Oh, I don't think so, Viraj."
Inara felt her nails digging into her palms.
"I hope you know what you're doing, doctor. You're gambling with people's lives."
But he knew it. Inara had previously found the doctor's body language difficult to read, but now he was not attempting to conceal himself from her trained eyes. Or perhaps she was just getting to know him better. Either way, she saw the tiny shudder, the flicker in his eyes that told her he had counted the cost, and prayed it would not be too high. "The monsters are loose, Zoe." Zoe lifted the comm to her lips. "Shiny." She thumbed the switch. "You get that, Jane?"
"Yeah. Hope Kaylee did her job."
"Get your men in position."
"Already there, Agent."
Zoe allowed herself a small smile as she lowered the comm. Jane Cobb had his flaws, and they were many, but it could not be said that he was anything but a boon in a fight. She twisted her head around to look at the police commander. "Hope you all are ready to be big damn heroes, Commander Two Falls." The little man's face became extremely sardonic. "We're cops, Agent Elaine. We're supposed to do this kind of thing every day. Admittedly, though not against Reavers." He shook his head. "But the motto says, serve and protect, not serve and protect unless it's Reavers, in which case hide and cry like a little girl, no matter how tempting the idea might be." Zoe's smile widened. She never thought she'd think any such thing about a cop, but she liked this one. He really was interested in doing his job, and doing it right. "Zhu Haorin, Commander," she told him, and meant it. "And you, Agent. I don't want to see you down in that fight, Doma." She patted the sniper rifle he'd given her. "I can cover your back just fine from up here, Two Falls." He nodded, though she could tell by his expression he'd prefer to order her out of the fight altogether, but didn't dare, since she outranked him. "I'll have men on the stairs in case anything breaks through. They'll keep you covered." Zoe nodded her thanks. It was a funny thing. Even men who were complete strangers were getting all Mother Hen on her. It was something to remember as a potentially useful guise in future heists. He disappeared to rejoin his men, and Zoe shifted her weight. Ideally, lying on one's stomach was the best position to lay down sniper fire. That wasn't an option, so she had to make do with a sort of sideways huddle. It was uncomfortable as hell, and her bladder was already protesting, but she had no intention of waiting all of this out on the TARDIS. She owed Mal loyalty and life and friendship, and she meant to honor that bond. Laying on the concrete wall rimming the rooftop, Zoe adjusted her sights and waited for the monsters to appear. Kaylee had done her job, and done it well, shutting down or sealing off much of the big corporate high-rise, both to shield the people inside it and to channel the Reavers along certain corridors and out a single exit, forcing them to bottleneck and give the hasty defense force a shot at winning. She could see the ripple shudder along the ranks of the city's police force as the doors began to shudder and twist, assaulted from the inside. From this vantage, they looked like a pitifully thin line, for all of their riot armor and heavy weaponry. She and Jane had done the best they could to give the officers a crash course in Reaver fighting, without, she hoped, giving away too much of just how they were so familiar with the task. But there wasn't a thing in the verse that could prepare anyone to face that kind of fury. She could only hope their nerve would hold. The doors gave, and the first wave of Reavers boiled out. Zoe blew out her breath, aimed, and began squeezing off shots. She did not have Jane's uncanny skill with long-range firearms, but she was good enough. Three of the monsters went down to her bullets, and the policemen led by Jane and Commander Twofalls opened fire. Then the Reavers closed with the front ranks, and the battle erupted for real. Inara watched Reinhold's anxious face as he muttered into his communicator. A flicker of surprise, and not a little relief, crossed his expression, though he tried to hide it. He glanced at Viraj and his companions, hissed an order into the comm, and attempted to look as though he were unconcerned.
"You know," said the alien, almost conversationally, "I can't help but feel that I may be doing the universe a favor by removing you from the equation. I think you're as big a monster as the Daleks ever were."
"Am I? Oh, well, if letting people live with the consequences of their own choices makes me a monster, then I suppose I am. I wonder, though, Viraj, what does that make you, Because I really don't think the term hero is going to apply here, no matter how much you might want it to."
The Mokshar's feathers rippled in agitation.
"Enough chatter, Doctor. Are you going to submit willingly? I'd rather not cause you any more pain than necessary."
The Doctor's smile was tight. "Ah, the universal plea of rapists everywhere. And yes, Viraj, that's what you are. So no, I'm not going to submit willingly to having my mind forcibly invaded. Do your worst."
"As you wish."
Viraj's luminous eyes flared. The Doctor went rigid, his lips skinning back from his teeth in a silent snarl. They remained like that for a long moment. Then the Doctor fell to his knees, clutching at his head. He began to scream. Jane Cobb had never been averse to praying, silent-like, if the situation called for it. His ma had always told him that, while God helps them as helps themselves, sometimes God needed a bit of nudging. He prayed now, with every shot, as the fury of the battle raged around them. Little Kaylee had done her job, and he was going to buy her a drink if they got out of this, and the Reavers could only come at them a few at a time. But it was still one hell of a nightmare. They were doing their best to plug the entrance with Reaver bodies, and that slowed them some. But already a couple of cops had gone down, torn apart by the enraged monsters. The other officer's nerve was beginning to shake under that horror, and if something didn't happen real soon, Jane knew he was going to be fighting these things all by his lonesome. He slammed Vera as hard as he could into a snarling face, kicking the thing down and reversing the big gun, fired. He stood, for a moment, in a tiny eddy in the battle. Twisting around, he spotted the police commander nearby. "Twofalls, you got any grenades?" The commander stared at him, then shook himself and fired a clean skull shot at a Reaver. "Yeah, clear me a path to the supply truck." Jane grinned and sent up another prayer, this one of thanks, with his next bullet.